the sports betting landscape from coast to coast. This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM, Dave Ross with Wes Reynolds. And Wes, we've got some surprises that I did want to get some thoughts from you on very quickly as we begin hour number two of your college football Saturday. Miami on the board. Finally, they just took the lead against Michigan State 7-3 right now. But really, it's what's happening in Oklahoma. Nebraska's hanging tough right now. It's 7-3 midway through the second quarter here. And again, they were a huge dog to begin this game. How do you think this might play out? Because Scott Frost's putting his best foot forward. And remember, he's squarely in the hot seat. Yeah. We thought they might get rolled in this spot. And so far, they're hanging tight.
Down to 13.5 right now at BetMGM, 48.5 the total. Nebraska kind of looks like they're about just a little bit outside the 30-yard line here, incomplete on third down. You know, when you're this big of an underdog, I don't think you can settle for field goals. I know a lot of the announcers are lamenting these teams going for it so frequently on fourth down. It just looked out for Miami here, fourth and two, I believe, at the 5-yard line. They go for it, and Derek King finds Charleston Rambo. What a name in the end zone. 7-3 the U right now, and back to 6.5 in terms of the in-game, 45.5 the total. Nebraska does not get points on the board. They elect to kick a 51-yard field goal there instead of going for it at 4th and 5 on the 32-yard line. 51-yarder, no good, so no points there for the Cornhuskers.
Boy,
and now back up to 15.5 for Oklahoma here at BetMGM on the in-play. Into Bloomington, 7-0 Indiana. Indiana's only given up one first down. They've been dominated on the line of scrimmage. And look, there's a big difference between an AAC team and a Big Ten team, sometimes in the trenches, and at least early on, that's bearing fruit for Indiana. Right now, IU minus 6.5, minus 135, and also 40.5 on the total, 7-0 early second quarter.
And it shows you the missed field goal there for Nebraska on the live line, how that number then vaults right back up to your point, 2 points. So again, those are a big three left off the board for Big Red there. And again, Rambo, you're not expendable.
No, absolutely, Charleston Rambo, that is a fabulous name and a fabulous touchdown. I am on Miami, by the way, in that game for 6.5. I thought this was a buy low spot considering the game of the year line over the summer was like 17.5 on this game. So I didn't think Michigan State had improved that much to justify that kind of an adjustment in terms of the number. But still right now they are inside the number. But nevertheless, 7-3, the U.
I wonder how different my life would be if my last name was Rambo instead of Ross. Minnesota and Colorado, and we talked to Mike Pritchard about this last hour. This is a big spot for the Buffs here, laying a small number as they get ready to kick here at home. Really their first true home game. They played in Denver last week against A&M. That defense really showed up against A&M. I know they had a backup quarterback here. But again, you get the feeling here, P.J. Fleck and company, this is winnable on both sides, right? That's the way these schools are looking at it. What would be your lean here when you look at this? And again, if you're a backer of Rowing the Boat, wouldn't you opt to take the money line instead of the 2.5?
Yeah, you probably would. This is not something I got involved with pre-flop. Probably will wait and see if an opportunity presents itself in-game during this program. But Colorado has taken the money here, and I think probably because they looked more impressive even in defeat against Texas A&M, even though it was a low-scoring game, 10-7 Aggies were your winners of that ball game. And Minnesota kind of let Miami, Ohio hang around. Yeah. They got out to an early lead, but then let them hang around a little bit. So Minnesota was actually my dark horse pick in the Big Ten West, and obviously still not out of it, even though Iowa looks like a pretty clear favorite from this standpoint. But small lean to the Gophers here. I just think that they're a little farther along than Colorado. I know Carl Durrell, Mike Pritchard, spoke to him being excited about that hire, certainly more excited than the Mel Tucker time during there. I believe he used the term debacle a couple times about the Buffaloes program, but small lean to Minnesota, but not enough to get involved for me.
How about Nevada against K-State? And this is interesting because obviously Nevada 2-0 right now, ATS, in their first two games. And K-State, look, they were all the rage after week one, right, with a nice big win. And then they kind of fall back a little bit, at least ATS here. But what do you make of this matchup here? Because I think it's two schools. People are still trying to figure out who's good and who's not.
Yeah, and the reason why I think Nevada is a small road favorite here is because Skylar Thompson, the quarterback, knee injury, he is out indefinitely. So you are getting Will Howard, who does have plenty of experience from last year when he replaced an injured Thompson, but a little bit of a downgrade. And I think that's now baked into the cake here. So you're going to have to rely on the running game if you're Kansas State. Deuce Vaughn, 244 yards and four touchdowns already here on the unseason. Kansas State has been out rushing its opponents by about 204-70,
wow,
I believe is the margin. So look, they're going to have their hands full here. You got a tough Nevada team. Carson Strong, the quarterback at Nevada, I was kind of watching him because I had them against Cal as a bet in week one, and he's got a rocket of an arm. So I thought, okay, I was asking some of the draft nicks that follow these mock drafts. I was like, okay, where do you think Carson Strong is going to go? I was thinking maybe mid, late second round. He very well could be a late first round pick here. I think this guy's got a lot of talent, Carson Strong, and obviously doesn't get the headlines that a Howell or some of these guys like Rattler might get, but maybe he'll sneak into the first round. This, I thought, and we were talking about this with our producer, Jacob Roach, during break, a very interesting game. A very interesting game, but a very tough game, I think, to bet. I did not really have a lean either way because I think Nevada being priced as the market favorite even when it opened was probably the right thing, and that was mainly, I think, due to the quarterback adjustment with Skylar Thompson being out. So no play for me. This will be one I'm interested to watch.
And when you have a backup quarterback, as you mentioned here, and you see that K-State so far has played two unders, you would think they're going to be conservative early on with the backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. So maybe, again, you can always think about a first half type play and maybe an under there until they really get their sea legs here. So you see the total there is a 50.5. And again, for the game, if you're backing Nevada, you're just laying the 1.5 even money there. So this feels like it's a tough one to handicap for a good reason. That's why these prices you see are pretty even across the board.
Yeah, without question. So, you know, Reno, UNR, Nevada, they have had a chance. They've already beaten a Pac-12 team on the road in Cal. So now a chance to prove it against Kansas State. I think Nevada was kind of one of the more favorited teams, I think, coming in terms of the Mountain West Conference. Certainly San Jose State was up there, Boise State, Fresno State, but Nevada right in the mix there and could absolutely prove it here with a nice win in Manhattan.
And under 90 minutes until kick, Notre Dame, Purdue, we talked a little bit about it in the first hour, but it is, I do feel it's a very important game for Brian Kelly, okay, because again, 0-2 ATS, he doesn't care about that. That point is, they haven't laid anybody out yet. We saw what happened with Florida State in week one, right? And then you see week two against Toledo. They're lucky to get that win, right? Forget about covering. They're lucky to get the win. If Toledo slides down at the end of the game, they could be 1-1. It's a much different spot. Is there any pressure on Notre Dame to not just win, but finally win pretty if we look at them as a top 10 football team?
Well, I think so, because look, you've already seen a couple teams lose. And look, it's better to lose early than lose late
when
it comes to that college football playoff, but you've already seen Clemson go down. You've already seen Ohio State go down. You've seen Oklahoma get at least a scare, and certainly not pulling away from Nebraska by any stretch here early on. So if you're Notre Dame, I think your schedule is probably going to say, okay, if you run the table and because you are Notre Dame, you're going to be in one of those four spots for the playoff. But if you look at Notre Dame so far, 0-2 against the number. They've been outrushed by an average of 198-99 over two games. And that's not the Notre Dame that we're used to seeing because they could run the ball. You also had a quarterback in Ian Book that could run. Jack Cohn's not as near as much of a runner and not as good of an athlete. The defense, which I mentioned about Marcus Freeman taking over for Clark Lee, who is now the head coach at Vanderbilt, and they changed the scheme a little bit. You're having that three-man front on defense, and the defense has already given up four plays of 60 yards or more this season. That's not Notre Dame defense. It's kind of predictable, though, when you bring in a new coordinator and a new scheme, and that's why I would lean to the over here. And you also look at Notre Dame on offense. Notre Dame usually has one of the best offensive lines year after year, no matter what kind of team they are, whether they're a playoff team or they only go like 9-3. They always have a good offensive line. They always put guys in the pros, McGlinchey, Quentin Nelson.
Right.
You can go on up and down these NFL rosters, but they've given up 10 sacks already this season. And that is a concern. And Purdue, I think, is a step up in class from Florida State and Toledo. So that's why I think you're seeing the Boilers get the money. Now, tough to take much from that UConn victory last week, really. I mean, that's a bad team. UConn is essentially an FCS team. And Purdue absolutely laid them out 48-49. So, but if Notre Dame doesn't play better, they could get beat out right here. And Purdue, by the way, 18-4 against the number as a road underdog since 2014. So certainly there's a case to be made for the Boilers. But I do think this is the bottom of the market for Notre Dame. I think if Notre Dame, even if they kind of like barely covered those first two games, they'd probably be laying 13, 13 and a half here. So this could be a buy low spot, but if I'm getting involved here, I'm going on the over.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And again, it's kind of one of those things where you've been burned the first couple of weeks as a better and a backer of Notre Dame here. It's hard to just say, okay, they're going to flip the switch this week, cover the number easily, no sweat. I think people thought that would happen last week against Toledo, and when it didn't happen, Wes,
right.
I think people now are a little bit cautious, and that's why you see the number. To your point, if they continue, they had an 18-point lead in the third quarter against Florida State, mm-hmm. right? And I was a backer of Notre Dame week one, right? Didn't get that job done. Toledo was never in doubt if you were on the Toledo side here. So I just wonder how much confidence the public still has in backing big, bad
Notre
Dame. Well,
and the thing is, it's not really split public and sharp or anything. There's plenty of people in both categories on both sides. And actually, Purdue has been taking a fair amount of action.
Yep.
A lot of people that I respect are on the Boilermakers here. I think the number is about right. And the Boilermakers were certainly my lean because I was like, you know what? I faded Notre Dame the first 2 weeks. Do I keep, you know, you ride her until she bucks you sort
Absolutely.
Of thing, you know? Do I keep doing that? And I laid off of this game because this could be kind of that buy low for Notre Dame where it's like, okay, we got an old school rival here. Let's get serious. Brian Kelly hasn't, quote unquote, executed his team yet as he botched that John McKay line after that Florida State game. But he's not very happy with them,
no.
I can tell you that, because they were life and death as we were on this program last week. And it's like Toledo could win this outright. They just keep hanging around, and they were right in there to the end. Notre Dame eventually scored on the last drive, but they got to step their game up, absolutely.
And, you know, Jack Cohn after week one, and we were talking about him in Heisman consideration, maybe not so much after week two. We will talk about some more Heisman odds when you come back with us right here. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this football season your best sports betting season ever. Start your VSiN free trial today to get full access to our sports betting experts, including 24/7 video streaming, daily best bet emails, betting splits with the money, and ticket percentages on every game, plus full access to VSiN.com. Data and analysis. You get everything VSiN has to offer for only $22 per month. Sign up now at VSiN.com/subscribe. Dave Ross here back with you and Wes Reynolds on Betting Across America and watching some of these games early on here. And again, if you're an in-game wager, you're going to start looking at this thing and saying Miami's up 7-3 right now on Michigan State midway through the second quarter. Looks like Miami's getting ready to score here, so maybe if you're a backer of Miami, you're not sweating it out as much as you were when it was 3-0. But really the game I want to focus on right now is Nebraska and Oklahoma, because just keeping a glance on this, remember, Nebraska at home getting over 20 to begin this day here. Right now, it's still 7-3. It's early right now, but Nebraska's hanging tough. Now, again, I know that this is not going to be an upset, okay? But look at how far down now. It's 11.5 on the live action here for Nebraska. So they're getting only 11.5. And again, at the beginning of the day, you're going to get somewhere, depending on where you're wagering, 22, 23. So this line has been cut in half because Nebraska's been able to hang tight. And look at the over-under, all the way down to 40.5 right now. So we'll keep a watchful eye on that. But again, Big Red putting up a big fight so far against Oklahoma. We talked about some of the Heisman Trophy plays earlier in this show, and I do want to talk about one when you look at Tulsa and Ohio State, that game getting ready to go off in just over an hour right now. And C.J. Stroud, of course, the talented quarterback for the Buckeyes. Right now, 11-1 is the odds for C.J. Put up big numbers again, almost 800 yards of offense here in the first couple weeks, 7 touchdowns. Does have 2 picks, pretty good QBR there of 82.6. So when you look at Ohio State, and again, I think people think, well, week one against Minnesota didn't look as good as we thought. Then they lose to Oregon. You got to think the rest of the way, Wes, that they might run the table. And mm-hmm. if they run the table, because people didn't expect them to lose week two to Oregon, then Stroud's going to be right there. We've talked about it a lot. When you play for a pedigreed school, right, and you have the opportunity schedule-wise to make it up, Stroud's still a viable option at 11-1.
Yeah, and that's why you're seeing that BetMGM is not giving you some cookies out there and putting them at 20-1 or something like that, because obviously you would gobble that up. You look at the Ohio State schedule, they're still going to have a big game with Penn State. They're still going to have games with Michigan and Indiana and everybody in the East Division. So Ohio State's schedule is going to improve. So there's going to be opportunities. Like you look at it right there, Rutgers, Maryland, Indiana, Penn State, Nebraska, Purdue, Michigan State, and Michigan, those Big Ten opponents. And certainly I think the strength of the conference in the Big Ten, if you do go ahead and run that table, I think there's a darn good chance, unless you got three or four undefeated teams, which is a possibility, sure, but I don't think a probability. If you have that, then maybe Ohio State is still the odd man out, but I still think that they're very much in this. I think if you run the table in the Big Ten Conference, that's going to be a lot more impressive necessarily than doing so in the ACC, even
no
though
question.
Clemson,
no
you know,
question.
It's not like Clemson lost to a doormat. They lost to Georgia here, who is right primed to be in the playoffs. So, but the ACC, I just don't think that there's that opportunity for like real big marquee wins like there is with a potentially a Penn State. Should they not get handled by Auburn in the primetime game tonight, Penn State could very well be undefeated coming into Columbus the weekend of Halloween.
And that last game against Michigan, Michigan's putting up another good performance so far today. They could be much improved. So again, the schedule is there for a guy like CJ Stroud to possibly at 11-1 to still give you some value despite the loss to Oregon in week number two. Let's talk about another CJ. And we talked about him a lot last week as Oregon was pulling off that upset, CJ Verdell. You look at the odds now, they're down to 30-1. I do believe before the game last week against Ohio State, you're getting about 66-1.
Yeah.
So it came down as we are watching him put on that great performance last week with those three touchdowns. So he's down to 30. So the value might not be there per se, okay? But still, if Oregon now is going to be a player, they're going to remember that signature performance against Ohio State at the Shoe. You still like it at 31 potentially?
It's a little bit tough for a running back because we haven't had a lot of running backs win the Heisman Trophy lately, quite frankly. It's been very much a quarterback-dominated award. But you look, 325 yards in two games, and one of those big games being against Ohio State, who is one of the top three teams in the country as of last week. So, you know, Oregon's going to have an opportunity also with the schedule because they're going to be able to, they're going to play USC, they're going to play UCLA, they're going to play Utah, and they're going to play Arizona State. I think they're on that schedule, but Arizona State not on that schedule, but certainly the South teams, UCLA, Utah, and a lot of these other teams. So they're going to have an opportunity to play these teams, and I think his numbers are probably going to be big time because Anthony Brown, he got it done, like he's been good enough, but I don't think we've had to see yet Anthony Brown, the former Boston College quarterback, who was pretty much like a red zone quarterback last year for the Ducks.
Running quarterback.
We haven't seen him have to like win a game on his shoulders yet. So that's why I think that you're seeing Verdell down here at 30-1 because it's like, okay, Oregon is going to go where this guy is going to take them because the quarterback is going to make some plays with his legs, but he's not necessarily the best passer. So it's like, okay, don't turn it over. Scramble when you have to. Run the offense. You have a very good running game. So that's why you're seeing that with Verdell. So 30-1, I think, probably is a fair price on this guy.
I want to put that schedule back up for Oregon because I want to remember this conversation. And we had it last week. When you look at the schedule, they're probably going to be favored in every game on it. Maybe at UCLA could be close, but I would still think that they're going to be the favorite right now.
They'd be a small road favorite.
Right, and I think at Utah right now, after Utah losing to BYU, I think they'd be the small road favorite there as well. I've heard people say if they run the table, that schedule isn't good enough to get in the college football playoff.
Why is Clemson's any better?
Thank you. That's the whole point here. So you go to the Shoe, and you do what Verdell did and what Oregon did, and get that done. If they run the table, and Verdell is the key cog, as you mentioned, to that offensive machine.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not 66-1. We get it. But I don't want to discount the player, and I don't want to discount the league for what they did non-conference to go to Ohio State and get that win. To me, Wes, that says, he's a player for the Heisman if they win all these games, and Oregon should be a player in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I think with that schedule, absolutely, if they run the table, they should be one of the top four teams. I mean, I know Clemson gets a benefit of the doubt, but it's not a lifetime achievement award.
No.
It's based on a season. It's like the NCAA tournament. The committee just doesn't give Kentucky or Duke a default number one seed every single year if they have not earned it. So, yeah, I think absolutely Oregon's schedule certainly stronger than Clemson's from this standpoint.
As we talk about the CJs here, is there any scenario, okay, where both these teams run the table and the CJs, both of them are leading the way, that Ohio State would get in and Oregon would not? I mean, to me, that world should not exist, right? Now, maybe, you know, Stroud might get it over Vardell when you're looking at Heisman.
Yeah.
But as team accomplishments, even if the Ohio State wins are better, and they would be better if they ran that Big Ten schedule, you cannot make a case, can you, that Ohio State would be in as a one loss, with the only loss being to Oregon,
well,
if Oregon was
undefeated. You've
got
to look at the dynamics of who the other teams are going to be. I think if Alabama and Georgia both run the regular season undefeated and meet in Atlanta and somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose, I think both the winner and the loser probably get into the college football playoffs. So you're looking at two teams. So therefore, you only have two spots left to go. So who also is a possibility? Oklahoma certainly would be a possibility if they run the table in the Big 12 and keep putting up like huge offensive numbers, which they haven't done so far today, because the score, by the way, is only 7-3 with
right?
1 minute left to go in the first half. So, you know, you have Oklahoma, you have Ohio State, that's in a stronger power rated conference that I think would get in with one loss, but there is that possibility that Oregon left out. Now I think if they go undefeated, you would think, now that's where you need dominoes to fall. You need Notre Dame to lose. You need maybe Oklahoma to lose, and then that makes that path a lot easier. But I know it does feel wrong.
It's just, I cannot believe, because again, this is how you project. If you're going to take Oregon as a long shot to win the national championship, you got to still say, is there a road to get to the college football playoff to have the opportunity to cash that ticket? And that's what bothers me the most, is when I hear that talk already, it sets the stage, and I get it. The Pac-12 is not the Big Ten. I get it. It's not the SEC. But that win at Columbus, week 2, has to matter big time if they run the rest of the table in the Pac-12.
Yeah, and I think it's probably going to be the gift that keeps on giving for Oregon. It's just don't stumble yourself, because you're not going to get necessarily what I would call the benefit of the doubt. I think if you go undefeated and the chips fall where they should, then you're probably going to have a good shot to do this. But I mean, I just don't see, like, I think Ohio State's schedule is a little bit better. There's just some more marquee possibilities, especially with Penn State, and that the league is a little bit tougher in the Pac-12. But in terms of, like, when you get into an Oregon-Clemson comparison,
oh man,
I don't think an unbeaten Oregon and a one-loss Clemson, even to Georgia, is much of a comparison based on those conference schedules.
Later on as we go, we'll pop up those national title odds. I don't want to do it now, but when we have a little bit more time to dig in, because I'm just going to tell you right now, Clemson right now is the shorter favorite than Oregon to win the national championship, and something just feels wrong about that to me. If you are an Oregon backer, at least respect that win as much as I do last week against Ohio State. Very quickly, you mentioned it. Nebraska's still hanging tough. They're going to the half, 7-3. And Miami's still a small lead right now on Michigan State, a 7-3 as well. Come on back. Betting Across America right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN is now available 24/7 on the YouTube TV Sports Plus package. Sign up today at tv.youtube.com to start your free trial. And remember, you can also watch us 24/7 on Fubo TV, Sling, and Xfinity X1. Visit VSiN.com to find all the ways to watch and listen to VSiN. Back here, Betting Across America, Dave Ross with Wes Reynolds, and we've got an interesting game. In Oklahoma, they've gone to the half, 7-3 right now. OU with the lead, and I know we've got an updated halftime line here. This has got to be a bit of a shock to the system here if you're a backer of Oklahoma.
Yeah, absolutely. And Oklahoma for the second half now, -7, -$1.20. Seeing the end game here at BetMGM at 11.5, and now 110 on both sides. It was juiced to Nebraska at 7.5 for the second half. So basically, Oklahoma now -7.5, so it makes them 11.5 in terms of the in-game. And the second half total, 27.5, so that total all the way down to 37.5 in terms of the in-play. That game is currently at halftime. Also, Texas A&M up 24-0 over New Mexico. Texas A&M -12.5 for the second half, 20.5 your second half total. And then a couple games late in the first half, Michigan State has just taken the lead at Miami. Missed field goals on both sides, but Sparty has the lead 10-7. The U -2.5, -$1.15 in play, and 49.5 your total. And then Indiana still up 14-0 on Cincinnati. The mild upset of the early morning here, I think, with Indiana shutting out the number 8 ranked Bearcats, who were trying to obviously bolster their playoff resume. And then a big underdog that's still in the game right now, that's Western Michigan, 20-20 against Pittsburgh midway through the second quarter. Pittsburgh was a 14-point favorite at the close.
And they had a big lead earlier, but Pittsburgh has come back to tie up that game. So again, when I look at that Nebraska game, we talked about the Heisman watch here in Miami, De'Aaron King not having a big day, Spencer Rattler not having a big day. Those things will affect those Heisman odds. We'll see as we go. We talked about Keaton Slovis in the first hour with USC, right? And they're laying a rather substantial number at Washington tonight, Washington State tonight at Wazoo, 7.5 here as this game is going to get ready to kick off in about 2 hours. And I look at SC, and I'm not giving up on them now. I know Clay Helton's out. You got a new interim head coach coming in here. We've seen this before at SC with interim head coaches where all of a sudden they kind of catch fire. Ed Orgeron comes to mind years ago, right, at SC, and then they didn't know what to do there. I'm not saying that they're going to catch fire, but what do you make of them in this spot today? Because it feels like with all the pressure surrounding Clay Helton for 7 years, right, of that talk, now he's gone. So that kind of problem is gone. The kids don't have to hear about it, right? The coaching staff doesn't have to hear about it. They kind of rally in that locker room. What do you make of SC tonight on the road?
Washington State has predictably gotten the money here. Obviously, USC, kind of the program in disarray now. Third time in, I believe, 8 years where a coach has not finished the season there at USC. It was Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
It was Steve Sarkisian and now Clay Helton. So interim coach being Dante Williams. This has been bet down to 7.5. I did not get involved at 7 or less. I would certainly want to buy USC, probably me and the rest of the free world here. But you know, USC, there is something to be like, they might play fast and free. They might play loose. Maybe Dante Williams said, okay, Graham Harrell, this is your show, dude. You want to chuck it down the field 50, 60 times? Go ahead. You know, play loose and free here. Because USC, I think one of the things, they have not run the ball as well.
No.
Like, we always consider the Trojans tailback you, right? And they just have not been a great running team for several years now because they've been trying to, I think, you know, they felt like maybe their offense was kind of a stick in the mud. So that's why they brought in Graham Harrell to run this exciting Texas Tech, you know, air raid type of offense. But it's been a lot of short passing game. And I've seen USC people on social media like, this offense is boring. It's supposed to be fun and, you know, throw it all over the field and score 50, 60 points a game. And it hasn't really been that. So to the point, I think USC very well could play a little bit loose here. And I, you know, you're right not to give up on him because the whole thing is, are these guys going to stay with the season? And I know we have Sean Salisbury coming up later in the program, former USC quarterback, a long line of great quarterbacks there in Los Angeles. But we're going to ask him, you know, do you think that this team is going to be able to stay within the season? They're a little bit banged up. It is going to be for Washington State. Jaden Delora is going to be the starting quarterback. They tried Jarrett Garantano in that first game, the transfer from Tennessee. He gets hurt with a knee injury. Delora was actually suspended in the spring for some off-field violations. So we shall see. I think USC, I want to get 7 or less than 7. Maybe I'll have to wait for in-game to do that. But that is the spot, I think, maybe to take USC. They're still a better team than Washington
State. No question.
And they still have more talent. People can talk about, oh, they don't have enough talent. They still got some pretty darn good talent on that team. So I'd be waiting a little bit, so I'm not going to get involved pregame.
And as you mentioned, when we have Sean on, we're going to talk about who we think the next coach might be at SC. But Graham Harrell, to your point, he was brought in there to do that.
Yes.
And if there was ever an audition process for the offense and Keaton Slovis, and that's why I wouldn't necessarily give up on him just yet. I know long odds, 80-1 here to win the Heisman. But if there was ever a time for SC to say, we still are, fight on, this would be the spot here. But again, I'm with you. If you could get that number down to 7 right now, BetMGM has it at 7.5. 62 right now is the total. So they are expecting points out of SC in this offense. Let's see if that offense is not so boring today. Speaking of coaches on the hot seat, oh my goodness. I mean, Mike Norvell, Florida State. Whoa, after what happened a week ago, right? Everything looked great. Even in the loss to Notre Dame, you go to overtime week one, and then you come back, and shocking is an understatement what happened last week to Florida State. Now they go on the road to Wake Forest, and they're getting 4.5.
Right.
I mean, whoosh, lack of respect for the Seminoles here to catch these points. What do you make of Florida State? Because I'm so confused after you watched the first 2 weeks of them.
Yeah, I was too. And I think, you know, Florida State did get behind in Notre Dame. And then they came back all of a sudden. Mackenzie Milton, who hadn't played in 2.5 years, the former quarterback at UCF, makes that big comeback, leads them down the field right back in the game where they actually had a chance to win. So you're thinking, okay, maybe we're starting to see Florida State. They're not, you know, Bobby Bowden when he had it rolling down there in Tallahassee standards just yet. But all of a sudden, they've got a little bit of a pulse. And then they kind of let Jacksonville State hang around a little bit, 27.5-point favorite. And then Jacksonville State hits that 59-yard Hail Mary. And it wasn't like some miracle-tipped lucky pass. The guy caught it short of the end zone, just ran between two defenders and got in there. And you heard the radio call of that, which the guy at Bubba Prague on Twitter, his name's Timothy Burke. He gets the local radio calls for this. And you can hear former Florida State great William Floyd, along with Gene Deckerhoff, the longtime voice of the Noles. And Gene Deckerhoff's just calling it. And you can hear William Floyd just totally disgusted. He goes, "I just said, don't let anybody behind you." And you can actually audibly hear him throw his headset on the live open mic, because that was arguably the worst loss that Florida State football has had. I don't want ever is a mighty, mighty long time, but you could make that case certainly. But I did take Florida State early in the week at 5.5. And, you know, Wake Forest, I have a lot of respect for Dave Clawson. I think he's a very underrated coach and always gets kind of the most out of his talent. At Wake Forest, you are not getting blue chippers. You are not getting 4- and 5-star guys. So you make do with what you have. And 2-0 right now for Wake Forest, so certainly they're going to be motivated. But they got an Old Dominion team that didn't even play a game last year.
No.
Because of COVID-19, canceled their entire season. And then they played Norfolk State out of the FCS. So you really don't know necessarily what you're getting out of the Demon Deacons. A lot of this is going to be, okay, is Florida State going to show up here?
Well,
are they going to, you know, not mail it in for the rest of the season?
When you mentioned, you know, ODU, Taylor Heineke's not walking through that door.
No, he's not.
That against Wake Forest. But again, I look at this and you see the points that Florida State has given up in the first couple weeks, right? They're giving up a ton of points here. 62.5 is the over-under. So again, expecting more points here in Wake Forest today. I just look at it and I go, okay, people go, well, that was a fluke at the end of the game. To your point, when you're a 27.5-point underdog, you have to be in position to win that game. So they were there with Florida State the whole day. That's the more concerning thing for me if I'm Mike Norvell and company. You go out and lay an egg again today against Wake Forest, and you're 0-3.
Right.
Forgetting about the number. You're 0-3. I mean, is there value here, money line, for Florida State? I know you got them early in the week at 5.5. It's been bet down to 4.5. But if you are Florida State and Mike Norvell, and you're seeing it with Nebraska and Scott Frost today saying, hey, boys, we got to stand up and make a fight. Is that fight today? Is there value in that money line?
I think it certainly has to be now that you're getting into a conference game. It is going to be. Mackenzie Milton looks like getting the start. Now, Jordan Travis is going to be available. They ran that two-quarterback thing. I think Travis, obviously, the more running quarterback, but I would trust Mackenzie Milton here, even coming back off that injury and that long layoff. I think that's who you really got to go with, because he's your best chance to make plays down the field here. Florida State has not been a great running team in recent years. So in terms of money line, look, I always do a little sprinkle sprinkle, at least in terms of the short money lines. Sure. I may not do sprinkle sprinkle if I'm taking a 40-point underdog, but I certainly do in a game that I think could be winnable. So I am on Florida State. It is not a very strong play, though, because I don't know what we're going to get. It was kind of just buying low in the market, and that's what I think you have to do sometimes week to week in college football, because you never have the same team 2 weeks in a row.
A lot of trouble right now in the state of Florida because the Miami Hurricanes right now losing at home 10-7, and Sparty is on the move again under a minute to go before the half. We'll give you that adjusted half timeline when we get to the half. But again, right now, not looking good for the Canes, and we'll find out about Florida State a little bit later on against Wake Forest. We are just getting it cranked up. It's Saturday. It's college football. It's Wes. It's me. Come hang out with us right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Betting Across America on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Discover what winning feels like at BetMGM. It's the best time to sign up because they're giving new customers a shot at an easy $100. Register using the code VSiN100 and win $100 in free bets when you place a $1 moneyline wager on any college football game and either team simply scores a touchdown. No matter what your gridiron game is, BetMGM is always ready for all the action. Enjoy parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the code VSiN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on any college football game and either team scores a touchdown. Only at BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. New customer offer, paid and free bets. Eligibility restrictions do apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older to wager. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. They have not gone to the half yet. Wes Reynolds, Dave Ross here with you, betting across America. Miami trying to get late points, but they still trail 10-7. And Cincinnati now up off the deck. They were down 14-0 to your alma mater. It's 14-7, final seconds of the first half. So, Wes, what do you make of what you're seeing so far as these games get ready to go to the half?
Yeah, we'll get back to Cincinnati-Indiana as it looked like Indiana batted a ball away at the goal line. So Cincinnati's going to have to settle for three. But Indiana was up 14-0, kind of a very questionable call against linebacker Micah McFadden, who is one of the leaders of that defense. He is now ejected for the game for targeting for Indiana. Michael Penix Jr., by the way, has thrown two interceptions. And there's some concern there in Bloomington right now. It's like, okay, are we going to go to Jack Tuttle? Because we can't. That second interception was an absolutely brutal throw. Up seven, you want to go to the locker room up 14-7. And that was the worst case scenario. And now it's going to be 14-10 as Cincinnati makes a field goal with the clock going down. So 14-10 is, by the way, going to be your halftime score in Bloomington. 24 and a half, depending on your total. More 24 and a halves out there. So still might have stayed under, but obviously that gives you a lot of sweat. And somebody tweeted me, this is what makes college totals so aggravating to bet, which is why I'm very choosy in terms of the total I bet necessarily. So 14-10, Hoosiers going into the locker room, still at the lead. Miami, about 5 seconds left to go, probably only going to have time to go for a Hail Mary, certainly not yet in field goal range. But Michigan State leading 10-7. De'Arik King, another quarterback who looked good last year, just has looked like he has regressed a little bit, threw a bad interception, already thrown one today, even though he's 22-28 for 233 yards.
A little bit deceptive because, to your point, it's been a lot of the dink and dunk and then the bad interception
and,
there.
And I think this might be prime for a second half overplay, and we'll get that halftime line to you when we can. Michigan State, 222 total yards already, only eclipsed by Miami at 264. And yet we are at 10-7 on the scoreboard because both teams have a missed field goal. So points being left out there here in Miami. So for a second half over, I would expect that's going to get support because this open 54.5 got as high as 58 in the market. 57.5 was the closer here at BetMGM. So those are the two games we are waiting for to go to halftime. You mentioned Michigan 35-3 over Northern Illinois. Michigan minus 10.5 for the second half. 24 minus $1.20 juice to the under. Second half total, Miami's Hail Mary is no good, so Sparty will go in a 10-7 leader at the half.
And again, we talk about our heart and smart plays here, Wes, every single week. And again, heart plays to me are plays you think could cash, but you might not necessarily dabble on it because you're betting a little bit with your heart. My heart play today was Virginia Tech Moneyline. Small price there, plus 105 to get the win in Morgantown today against West Virginia. I just looked up, and Virginia Tech missed a field goal right before the end of the half. And right now, not looking very good on my heart play as they are getting 24-7, getting trucked a little bit here by the Mountaineers. And again, I thought this was a dicey spot for Virginia Tech coming in undefeated, 2-0, that huge win a couple weeks ago against North Carolina. Look, this is a border war, you know, Virginia, Virginia Tech, and West Virginia, obviously. So I didn't love it, but my heart said Virginia Tech, but right now my head said stay away.
I wish I would have bet my lean because I did lean a little bit to West Virginia here. Just kind of, you know, there's always that unranked favorite against ranked underdog, and that certainly fit here, even though the odds makers know about that too. So you're not fooling them. It's not like, oh, we've all got this thing figured out and nobody else in the world knows about it. Everybody knows about it. But that's why you got to kind of handicap the game really individually. But West Virginia is showing out really right now, 24-7 over Virginia Tech. We know big year for Justin Fuente, off to a good start, having upset North Carolina in that opening week game. But, you know, 24-7 West Virginia, I still think that Virginia Tech probably, at least you got to think is going to make a run here. I'm looking for a second half price, and I'll get that to you when it appears as that game just went to halftime.
And again, my smart play for the day, and this is interesting because I know that the number is not necessarily the best number, because after what Stanford did to USC, a lot of people look at the tree and go, okay, maybe David Shaw after week one, the K-State debacle, maybe they're not as bad as we thought. This is a play against Vanderbilt for me. That's all this is here when I look at this. Yes, Stanford dominated USC last week, but really this is a play against Vanderbilt. I just don't think they can hang with Stanford. I don't think they can score enough. Stanford's too physical. They have too many dogs, as you would say, and just too many athletes, too many dudes. So to me, this is a smart play on Stanford. Again, I'm playing against Vandy. But I know, ironically, you might have a lean the other way on this
one. Well, and look, and to be in full disclosure, I took a worse number. I took 11 on Vanderbilt. It is now 13, so I actually have the worst number. So I don't like the market necessarily moving against me. But the reason I did that basically was because I know Vanderbilt got outguarded at Colorado State. So I understand why people are coming in on Stanford.
Yep.
I do think that that game was a little deceiving, Stanford and USC. Look, they go in as 17-point underdogs, and we thought, man, that line looks big. Something's fishy here. And then they go beat USC by two touchdowns and finally put the final nail in Clay Helton's tenure there at Heritage Hall. But I just think that this is such a shaky spot, really, for Stanford, because you already had the game at Kansas State. Then you had the game against USC where you win your Pac-12, you win your conference games, and there's always going to be more of a premium on conference games. Now you go to Vanderbilt in that sandwichy spot where you get UCLA, who, assuming they beat Fresno State later tonight, may end up being in the top 10. They're currently 13th. They may move up depending on what teams do in front of them. You might have a UCLA team at home and then Oregon, who's a top 5 team. So you may have a top 10 and a top 5 team at home back to back. Now you got to go to Vanderbilt, who got beat at home by East Tennessee State.
A sleepy spot here, potentially.
Yes, and that's why I kind of did like Vanderbilt in the spot. I certainly understand the move on Stanford because Vanderbilt, if you look at the stats, they're not really pretty. Clark Lee's guys, they were 7-point underdogs, by the way, at a putrid Colorado State team. Ooh. Got out-yarded by over 100 yards, really still struggling to run the ball. Clark Lee is in his first year down there at Nashville, was the Notre Dame defensive coordinator, so I can understand the move on Stanford. I'm just going on the spot with Vanderbilt, but the line value, clearly the market is saying, was on Stanford early in the week.
Yeah, my move is just against Vandy, and I'm pro David Shaw that he's going to have his guys not looking ahead to that schedule that you mentioned. Let's look at some of your heart plays, because one of them right off the top of your alma mater looks pretty good. It looked really good about 10 minutes ago. That's the under in this Cincy and Indiana game, under 50, but right now you're still on pace to get that.
Yeah, 24.5 is the second half total. So that'd be 48.5. So it's kind of like, okay, do I hedge out of it or I just let it go? It's kind of in that dead zone right now. And by the way, Cincinnati for the second half is -1.5. So essentially 2.5-point underdogs for the game right now. But Cincinnati certainly goes in, and I think that that's probably going to go up a little bit because now it's like, okay, maybe Cincinnati has the momentum against Indiana because the stats have now evened up. Because remember, very early in the second quarter, Cincinnati only had one first down, but all of a sudden they got a little something going, and I think they're not able to run the ball at all, 12 carries for 19 yards. So they're probably going to have to keep throwing the ball. Two turnovers apiece, but two interceptions by Michael Penix. And then Micah McFadden, who's kind of the heart and soul of that defense, ejected for a targeting penalty on the Hoosiers' side. So I think right now you're seeing 1.5. I would expect to see 2, maybe 2.5 on Cincinnati. So Nebraska, by the way, it looks like they attempted another long field goal. They were driving down. Actually, this was a shorter field goal. But remember, they tried that 51-yarder. This, I believe, was some 34 yards out. Culp has now missed two field goals. If you make those, you're leading the game right now. But 9 minutes left to go in the third quarter, still 7-3 in Norman over Nebraska.
Unbelievable.
So the second kind of shaky effort that we've seen out of Oklahoma. Remember, they struggled to get by Tulane in the first week. It was a home game for Tulane, played in Norman.
And again, in the second quarter, you could have gotten Nebraska here at +600 to win the game outright here in your live updated line. You look at this, Nebraska's playing with Oklahoma. So I know it seems like, wow, they're not going to, they are hanging with them right now. And again, to your point, two missed field goals. So again, still getting 12.5, but on the money line here, after that missed field goal, +1,000. Okay. So it's, you're down 4. To me, there's some value in there. Again, you'd love to have those kicks go in, but since they haven't, you're still getting some value. Look, I just look up, and every time I see him, they're moving the football.
Well, that Nebraska kicker has probably seen his last kick, unless it's going to be an extra point, because already has missed two. So Oklahoma only 7-3, 9:19 left to go in the third quarter. Spencer Rattler, pretty pedestrian today, 13-19 for 105 yards. Has one rushing touchdown.
Got much more to get to, some more smart and heart picks, and of course some Heisman watches. We'll keep watching all the games going on. It is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.